Board of Public Works, the longest day.
Good to see you all. Thank you. I know many of you have come from distances through ice and snow.
A lot of our neighbors out of power right now in Western Maryland and on the Mason-Dixon line. We have a few charts we wanted to share with you, I think, Kevin, or no? You want to wait a while on that? Okay. So that, whatever you want to do, Kev. Okay. Thanks a lot. The chart that you see over there shows the school construction allocation, state public school investments, and that's average annual for the life of every administration going back to four of us, going back to William Donald Schaefer. And, of course, Treasurer Kopp was a leader of this improvement, the Kopp Commission, which called upon all of us to do better by our children and the conditions in which they accomplish the most important activity for generational progress of all, which is learning and becoming as smart as they can possibly and literate as they can possibly be. Because the more a person earns, the better for our entire economy. We have a few counties right off the bat. We've got, I'm told, here's the batting order. Before break, we have Frederick. Frederick's not here. They were iced out. So we have Colbert, Cecil, Kent, Wacomico, and Washington. So Colbert County, you here? Come on down. I'm sorry, Mr. Comptroller.
I have a question for Dr. Lieber.
Sure. Dr. Lieber, hold down that microphone.
Good.
Hold down that microphone.
Sorry if I could just wait for 1 second, Calvert, much as I love you. So you see this chart, Dr. Lieber. My question, and I will be concerned about this, is that as the construction costs increase over the next couple of years as the nation begins to move forward as far as the economic recovery, what exactly does that, I guess, magic figure of $250 million from Treasurer Kopp's report, what does that get us compared to 5 years ago when construction costs were a lot lower?
Compared to 10 years ago, I have a figure for that. It's about 60% less, dollar for dollar, than we were able to buy in this, 2004 compared to now because of construction cost escalation in the interim. I'd have to check my charts for 5 years ago. But looking forward, 5 years ago was actually fairly stable because we're coming out of a recession and costs mm-hmm. have been fairly flat since the mm-hmm. beginning of the recession. But looking forward, the predictions from groups like Gil Bain, which runs an annual report, is that we will be seeing construction cost escalation as part of the economic recovery, and we're seeing that already, and I think some of our colleagues from around the state can probably attest to this, less competition on bid day than we saw, say, in 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. 2010.
And so we may have to recalibrate our expectations as to what X amount of school construction dollars will result in as far as new facilities.
That is correct.
Okay. Second question on facilities maintenance. I've been a champion of local systems that take good care of the buildings that they have so that they extend their useful life and save the taxpayers money as far as having to do unnecessary renovations and new construction because they didn't maintain the buildings well. How is the state measuring the commitment of local school systems to cost savings through improved school maintenance? And can you help us understand which systems are doing well and which systems are not doing well?
Well, we, as you know, we inspect 220 schools a year with some re-inspections. And so we do evaluate the individual school. We also evaluate the school system as a whole. Overall, I think we're seeing maintenance improving, and we like to think it's probably because of our maintenance inspection program keeps the focus on it. The detail that's in those reports, I think, is very important in terms of highlighting specific issues. We now have 7 years of data, and so I can't give you trend information yet, but this will be part of our analysis in the report that we'll be providing to the Board of Public Works this autumn. on the FY13 inspections, and that'll also look at the FY11 and FY12 inspections. And what we want to see is, where are we seeing improvement in what specific categories, but also where are we seeing the trend staying the same, and also where we might be seeing problems developing, because that points to needs for capital improvement. And this is always comes back to the individual school system, where they want to invest their money. But I think that our information can assist in that way, of pointing out where there can be deficiencies. I could not be able to put a dollar figure
That's
on
okay.
the savings that we're achieving.
Any progress you can report, please do so. I appreciate that. And then finally, I have read a lot about the Common Core issue, and it reminds me intellectually of how everybody in the 70s got so ignited and energetic over something called open classrooms. Probably the worst idea ever inflicted on our school facilities. Some of these unfortunate constructions still exist in Maryland. And I'm going to be asking most of the jurisdictions, or a lot of the jurisdictions, what exactly are the budget, particularly operating budget, implications of the Common Core testing. I understand we're talking tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. New tablets, new computers, new internet wiring, new this and new that, all of which is going to be imposed on the local jurisdictions. And the question is, aren't some of those costs going to be prohibitive given the budgets of these jurisdictions that you oversee?
Those would fall into the operating budget rather than the capital budget.
But they're connected to the capital.
Well, that's a question. It depends on what type of improvements are needed. As you know, we fund what we call behind-the-wall improvements in IT, the infrastructure that supports the IT computers, the software, and so forth, but we don't participate in the funding of the actual equipment itself. That does go back to the local jurisdiction's operating budget.
Well, would you please just keep an eye on this? Because obviously we're talking about large amounts of money that those systems, well, look at a system like Allegheny or even Calvert, that's going to be difficult to come up with. And we'll have our debates down the road on whether this overemphasis on testing, much as we want to have accountability, ends up being counterproductive because the teachers can't teach. And so I hearken back to the 70s in my urging of everyone involved to be very cautious as far as the implementation of whatever shiny new idea comes out of Washington. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt the Calvert presentation.
Good afternoon. As long as we've interrupted.
There are
people watching for the first time this process, and there are a lot of people who are very interested in school construction and the quality of their schools. And I wonder if Dr. Lever could very briefly and succinctly address what the process is for arriving at the decisions that they are already recommending, what the process is for proposal, and what the formula, the funding process and factors are. I apologize for taking it out of Calvert, but you're first. So.
I'll be glad to.
Succinctly.
Yes. I'll do my best. We received the applications in October, and the local boards established the project lists and the priorities of the projects. They also developed the request that they're making, whether it's a planning request, if it's a funding request, how much. We try to follow local priority order as much as we can. Our first action is to determine the eligibility of the project requests. And we do that continually through the entire CIP process. taking projects, seeing if there are any outstanding issues that need to be clarified, getting letters to the LEAs, and having ample discussion with them, meeting with them to see. As we move through the process, more and more projects become eligible, and we base our recommendations on the eligible projects only, trying to follow priority order as much as we possibly can.
Priority meaning the local school?
The local system priority order. We might have to jump over a project if there are still outstanding issues that mean it's not ready yet. Occasionally, projects are not eligible at all, and then those projects are set to the side. Also, a project is not eligible if it's not supported by the local government. And we receive an assurance from the local government in usually late November, early December, of which projects they're supporting. We then develop our recommendations. There are three rounds. The first recommendation, which you're considering today, by law, the IEC has to recommend at least 75% of the governor's preliminary budget, which is presented before November 1st. And by law, the Board of Public Works can approve no more than 75%, and so 75% is the number that you see in front of you. We're also required by law to present recommendations. The IEC presents recommendations before March 1st for 90% of the submitted capital budget, which is $275 million. And then at the end of the session, when we know what the final capital budget is, we also know the total amount of reverted funds that we have available to be redistributed to specific LEAs, if that's your LEA of origin, or a statewide contingency. We can add that on to the total allocation. We also analyze any special initiatives that may have been approved to determine how they impact. We base our total recommendations. We look at the projects that must have a certain level of funding to proceed. We work very closely with the LEAs to determine what that level might be. Obviously, from our perspective, we're trying to spread money as far as we can to do as many projects. And so we do ask the LEAs to put a very fine pencil on their draw schedule on what they're actually going to need in the upcoming fiscal year based on bid date, anticipated schedule of construction. We try and distribute to the, particularly the large jurisdictions and the mid-sized jurisdictions, invariably, not always, but almost always, have requests that go well beyond any possible level of funding we could get to. Their programs are large. They have many projects. They are complex programs as well. And we try and base our funding on a parity concept that we recognize that the needs are different in different jurisdictions, but they are ample, and that the state should participate to show support for those projects based on equity across the state. And we find ourselves dealing always with the money never goes even close as far as we would like it to go. And so that is one of the tensions that we're constantly battling with, is how to address the projects that are critical and to give ample funding to jurisdictions that have multiple needs. If you'd like me to address the state local cost share formula?
Yes.
Okay. It is in regulation. In COMAR, there are a number of factors that go into it. It's a fairly complex formula.
But it's factors such as?
Well, it's the foundation program amount for the jurisdiction is the first factor. The guaranteed tax-based program addition is the second factor. And then looks at the farm population.
Low-income population.
Low-income population. And that's a student population.
Yeah.
And that's an add-on. There's an add-on for each of the two factors that make up the One Maryland designation. So One Maryland counties can apply for one or the other or both of those factors and get an additional.
Can you put in English in like maybe two or three words, each one, what these factors did?
Right. The foundation program
is.
Foundation is established as a result of the Thornton Commission. Determine the formula for the per student allocation, which is adjusted annually.
School operating formula.
For the operating budget, right. And then the state participates in that per student allocation in varying amounts based on local wealth. And wealth is measured by income tax and property tax,
okay,
as I understand it. The guaranteed tax base portion is an add-on for certain jurisdictions based on cost of living, as I understand it. Farms, I think that is, as you said, that has to do with children.
Reduced price line.
Yes. Exactly. The One Maryland jurisdictions are established by DBED on an annual basis, and these are jurisdictions that either have a higher-than-average unemployment rate or a lower-than-average per capita income by certain factors.
That's related again.
Yes, a DBED established. And then the next item is the percent growth. Jurisdictions that have a more rapid student enrollment growth above the statewide average can receive an additional point.
Historical or projected?
It's historical. It goes back to the sixth prior year. So it's looking at trends 6 years back. And then the final amount is what we call the effort, the capital effort component. It means how much has the jurisdiction issued in debt and expended within a period prior to the calculation on capital above 1% of the local county wealth. And then that becomes an add-on as well.
How much in absolute terms or in proportion to something?
It is. All these are in percentage terms. So how much that would be, how much that exceeds 1% of the county wealth.
Okay.
So that calculation is the denominator.
So you get a basic per pupil, and then there are factors mostly related to the wealth of the jurisdiction and the effort that the jurisdiction has made.
Correct. And there's a floor of 50%. So that even if a jurisdiction by calculation comes out, let's say, at 35%, they still will get 50%. It is on a per-project basis. So, and it's also based on only eligible costs.
Right.
These are other
eligible
complications.
Costs, and then you have to do a full project, so you can't get it down to the, like, operating funds. I mean, you're not going to say, well, the factors would lead us to fund 60% of your high school, of our obligation for your high school. You're going to do the whole.
Oh, no. The commitment is to fund as much as we have funds available.
Thank you. I'm embarrassed. I should have known that. I should have remembered that. I didn't. Thank you very much.
It's complex.
Could I ask a question, Dr. Lieber? Is the superintendent of the state Department of Education, Dr. Lowry, here?
No, she could not be here today. Mr. John White, Chief of Staff, to the Superintendent, is standing in.
Welcome. Okay. I remember you from transportation days.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Good to be back.
Where's Dr. Lowry?
Dr. Lowry is actually in Washington today, talking about the progress Maryland is making in digital learning. Today is National Digital Learning Day, and
great.
She was invited to be one of the national speakers.
Well, would you please tell her she should be here? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know why I would say that, but anyway, thank you.
Culver County?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Governor O'Malley, Governor Franco, and Treasurer Calvert. I'm Gene Carroll, President of the Board in Board of Education in Calvert County. And we bring greetings from our Calvert County Board of Education, our superintendent, faculty, and student population we serve. First, I want to thank you for the opportunity to appear before you to discuss Calvert County Public Schools Capital Improvement Program for 2015. The level of support you've given Calvert County Public Schools in the past has just been great and highly commended. And I might say we're very fortunate and grateful that the state of Maryland, I think, is one of three states in the country that has a program, maybe, I don't know, that actually has state participation in school construction. It goes with our being number one in many other ways. We want you to know that as local education agencies, we do appreciate that. We just recently completed the replacement of our Calvert High School, and you've been there, Tom Thomas.
Thank you.
In Pennsylvania, Maryland. It's a beautiful school. I'd like to extend a personal invitation to all of you to attend our school dedication ceremony, which is 2 o'clock on Sunday, March the 30th. But we'll be sending you an invitation, and hope some of you could, or all of you could make it. We'll try to be brief. Assistant Superintendent Tony DeVaro is here today. He'll speak to our CIP request for 15 in a moment. First, again, I want to thank you in advance for your continued support, though, of Calvert County Public Schools construction program. Calvert County Public Schools' success in the area of student achievement, and I think you're all aware of that, we do very well, is in part due to the IAC's consistent and responsive funding of school facility improvements that meet the needs of today's instructional programs. And you were just talking a little while ago about what it's going to cost for Common Core. We don't know that, but I'll tell you, it's going to be a lot of money, I think, when it comes to the technological stuff. And that's where we're really going to be going in the future, I think. Technology is going to take over, and it's going by, it's galloping by leaps and bounds. And it's costly, but it's good stuff. And so I don't know how we're going to do it, but something you guys got to think about. Anyway, I'd like to introduce now our assistant superintendent. I also have George Leah, who's director of our capital projects here, so if there are questions.
Good afternoon, Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Francho, and Governor O'Malley. My name is Tony Navarro, assistant superintendent for Calvert County Public Schools. We thank you for your level of support you have given to the Calvert County Public Schools with regard to our CIP. Our appeal today concerns the first year of funding for the replacement of Northern High School being requested in the FY 2015 cycle. This school replacement project is a phased effort over 4 years, while the current high school and the middle school, both sharing the same campus, remain in session. Construction is to commence in April, May of 2014 and be completed in 2018. The first phase will be the construction of and subsequent occupancy of the new high school by 2016. The second phase will consist of the demolition of the old high school and extensive site improvements. The third and final stage will be the construction of additional instructional spaces at the existing high school auditorium. Schematic design documents have been submitted and reviewed. Design development documents are underway and progressing towards a March submittal. Our submission timeline differs from that suggested.
March submittal?
Yes. Our submission timeline differs from that suggested within the guidelines of the Public School Construction Program Interagency Committee on School Construction, and is the underlying reason consideration for funding has been deferred to date. This is intentional, so as to keep the design momentum in concert with our construction timeline. Our appeal for the Northern High School replacement project is for the first year of funding, which is $2,040,000 in state funds. The total project budget is $67,309,000 in combined state and local funds. Of the total project budget, $60,558,000 is for construction. We have requested $4 million in the FY 2015 funding cycle, which is comprised of $2,040,000 in state funds and $1,960,000 in local funds. The funding request will be spread over a five-year cycle. We respectfully ask for the $2,040,000 to commence with construction. With respect to school security, with Maryland state and local fundings that are being provided, in all of our schools, we are designing perimeter improvements that include window glazing, landscaping, and hardscapes. We are designing school access improvements that includes electronic access and surveillance. We will be having guided vestibule and interior improvements. And we also have safety advocates in all of our high schools and local police advocates available to all schools. In conclusion, we sincerely appreciate your most generous support. As the former principal of Mount Harmony Elementary School in Calvert County, I had the opportunity to provide tours of our school to prospective parents from outside Maryland and to outside Calvert County. While they were very impressed by the students and teachers, they were just as impressed with our building. The systemic improvements that you have supported to our schools ensures an excellent learning environment for everyone. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Anything else? Mr. Controller? Okay. How are you doing on school breakfast?
Pardon me?
School breakfast.
Yes.
Do you do it?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. We have it every day. Yes.
What's the gap between the number of kids that are free lunch eligible and the kids that get breakfast?
We have a large free mountain. Most of our kids that get free breakfast and take advantage of the, that are part of the free lunch program do take advantage of the free lunch, free breakfast program.
60%?
I would say close to 75, if not 80.
Okay. Do you know Ann Sheridan right there? Ann, raise your hand. Ann's our children, youth, and families person. I want to make sure you said hi to her on your way out.
Will do.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, we move on.
Can I just ask, do you have a ballpark estimate of what universal pre-K would require in terms of construction, in terms of seat space?
That would be very hard to figure out, but that's where we're going to go. That, the research shows that's what we could go.
Right.
It would really make a difference. But it would be costly. It would be extra classrooms that you see.
So are you all looking at, are the superintendents looking at, or boards?
My wife taught pre-K at Beach Elementary School, and she feels it's very beneficial for children.
That is absolutely right. Every day in the paper, there's more and more substantiation.
Yes, sir. Just controlling.
Yeah, I enjoy going around to different systems around the state, giving Maryland Master's Awards to elementary school artists, middle school artists, and high school artists that the systems recommended to me, and it was very satisfying because the arts are obviously connected to the economy. But 23 out of 24 jurisdictions nominated people, and all we got was radio silence from Calvert.
We will take care of that. I'll address it.
And I've already visited 23 jurisdictions, and you guys are kind of...
I will take care of it.
Thank you.
You have my assurance.
Thank you.
Ms. Sheridan, is there a place online on the delivery website, Goal, where we can see the counties and where that delta is? What is it? I'm not finding it. Okay. Good. Pass them down to me before they speak, would you, so I can look at it? But you can give Calvert County there. Thanks a lot. Okay. Next up is Cecil County. Could you pass me the folder, Kevin, on Cecil County? Thank you very much. Good thinking, Ann. Hi, Cecil County.
Good afternoon.
Lay it on us.
I'm the Ed Devine Superintendent of Schools, and with me today is Mr. Perry Willis, our Executive Director for Support Services. Good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Franchot. I would like to thank you and the Board of Public Works for your continued support of public school construction. I would particularly like to thank our governor for visiting Cecil County. The residents really appreciated that in this last year, as well as our comptroller joining us on two separate visits. And, in fact, one of the projects I'm going to discuss today, sir, is the school that you visited. So thank you for the opportunity to make our appeal to you regarding our fiscal year 2015 capital improvement plan. We are very grateful for the current recommendations from the Interagency Committee for Public School Construction and continue to receive additional information from our county executive that indicates more support for addressing the current deferred maintenance in our school facilities. As you know, Cecil County is a wise investment in capital construction. Our facilities continue to receive favorable inspections by the public school construction program. In fact, last year we received 5 superiors out of 5 inspections. Our appeal to you today is that you continue to support our efforts to improve our school facilities and recognize our long-range plan to benefit our students and communities in a positive way. I'm going to talk to you about 4 projects. First, the Perryville Elementary funding. We want to thank you for recommending the $2.3 million to begin the major renovation and transformation of a building that's been in dire need of change for the past 10 years. The request this year for the $3,100,000 is to assist us in moving this project forward as soon as students and staff leave for upcoming summer break. Cash flow is always projected and closely estimated, and we believe that the total request will be needed to keep the project moving at a constant pace and potentially shorten the time for construction activities. We are going to be relocating our students to 2 neighboring elementary schools, causing somewhat of a overcrowding for a short period of time, but we believe this is the best manner in which to achieve this project in a reasonable time period. So we respectfully request the remainder of the funds for this year's CIP in the amount of $775,000 to ensure that this project remains on track. The second project that I wish to discuss with you is very, very exciting to us. It is our proposed new School of Technology. It is one of the highest projects our Board of Education has had for the past 8 years. This has potential to impact thousands of students going into the future. We'll be able to expand the opportunities. And heretofore, we had a very small program in an antiquated building. Finally convinced our county executive and county council to purchase this property that will be an adaptive reuse of an existing research and development building that has in excess of 140,000 square feet on 90 acres. It will give us a short-term solution for our School of Technology and provide long-term possibilities as well. And it has the full approval, as I said, of our local government. So we respectfully request that you approve the total state funds in the amount of $5,304,000 to move this project forward so we can open our doors and expand opportunities for children in August of 2015. We also are asking for the local planning for the replacement of Gilpin Manor Elementary School. Mr. Franchot visited there with us within the last year. Located within the town of Elkton with a priority funding area, very high poverty rate, one of our highest in terms of free and reduced meals. It was once a center for special needs children, and so the facility does not work for the current instructional program. So the plan is to use the site next to the current property, build a new school, and then tear down the current one. It is just the feasibility study indicated it is not an opportunity for renovation. So we respectfully request that you approve local planning for the replacement of Gilpin Manor Elementary. And finally, we recently shared with our Board of Education, we have a $47 million price tag in deferred maintenance, mostly because of the lack of local support, which, thank goodness, has changed. Renovations and replacements of some of our older facilities, along with systemic repairs, will help pare down this number. The Conowingo roof is 21 years old and beginning to cost more dollars in terms of repair and maintenance. So we request that you approve the $216,000 to replace the flat roof portion of Conowingo Elementary. And to conclude, Cecil County prides itself on protecting our investments, creating instructional environments that serve many students today and beyond. We are very pleased with our rising graduation rate, a full 10% in the last 5 years. We know that there are many competing needs across the state. We can appreciate that, and we would just like you to consider that we have not had a full renovation since 2005. We have the momentum in our local county with county government, and we hope that you will support investing in our schools at this time.
Okay. Mr. Controller?
Yes, I'm a big fan of the School of Technology. I think it's crucial to have that on the northeast border to compete with Wilmington and Philadelphia. But maybe because I was up there, I get a lot of mail from opponents of that project. But could you just briefly assure me that you have a critical mass of students who are going to be able to take advantage of this?
Yes, currently we have almost 200 children on a waiting list every year for existing programs. So we are redesigning, and that's in progress, the space so that we can increase the programs that are viable, those that, like Allied Health, that really are good programs that need to be expanded. We will replace some other programs with new programs. And so we will gradually grow the number as we move there, but we are confident that with the renewed opportunities, not just for in the School of Technology, but in some of the STEM fields, because this facility has tremendous science labs also on site. So there's a lot of different possibilities for the use of this school. But there'll be new programs and expanded existing programs.
Well, tell the supporters I spoke up for it, and tell the opponents you didn't hear anything.
I will do that.
It's a great project. So
thank you, sir.
Okay. Okay.
What is the issue with the planning?
The issue disappeared as of Friday. We didn't have design development documents, and as of Friday, I was told that we do have them now, so it's now an eligible project.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
I'm going to pass this folder down for you on the way. There are 1,299 kids in Cecil County who get free lunch, but not the free breakfast. I'll bet I know, because I've seen it happen all throughout our state. If you cross that delta and give them the whatever the breakfast to go, what's the term of art?
Grab and go.
Grab and go, and the lunch or breakfast after what? After the bell. Breakfast after the bell. It will have a big impact on your student achievement. It will have an impact on your deportment. It will have an impact on your attendance. 1,299 kids. You know who they are and you know where they are. And we're going to give you this pack on the way out.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Kent County.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Governor O'Malley. Comptroller Franco and Treasurer Kopp and members of the Board of Public Works. My name is Dr. Karen Couch. I'm the new superintendent for Kent County Public Schools, and I'm pleased to be here this morning to talk to you and to deliver our appeal. I'd like to thank the Interagency Committee on School Construction for recommending partial funding for our two highest priority systematic renovation projects at Garnett Elementary School. Today, we are here respectfully to request additional funds so that we can move forward and complete these two very important projects. Dr. Lever and the IAC recommended and recognized the wisdom of moving forward simultaneously to replace not only the roof, but the HVAC mechanical systems. More importantly, it's important to note that we will not only save money by moving both of these projects forward simultaneously, but we can also coordinate both of the mechanical and roofing contractors at the same time. The roof at Garnett was replaced in 1995 due to its poor condition, has been repeatedly patched and repaired for the last several years. As a matter of fact, right now we have trash cans catching all of the water that's going into the school at this time, so it's in very poor shape. The semi-annual roof inspections determined that the roof has outlived its life expectancy, and the HVAC roof units were also replaced in that same year, and they've also outlived their normal life expectancy as well. Kent County Public Schools plans to install high-efficiency units that will ensure better comfort and create an improved learning environment for our teachers and our students. This will also reduce our energy usage and expenditures. We requested $666,000 to replace the roof at Garnett, and we were recommended to receive $500,000, leaving the balance of $166,000. We also requested $151,000 for the HVAC system, and again, we have a remaining balance of $51,000. Today, we are requesting the total amount of $817,000, which is the appeal for $217,000. You may be aware, and I know that Dr. Lever and the IAC is also aware, that we have not received a state allocation for capital improvement funds in several years. I'm pleased to report that the Kent County Commissioners are in complete support of this project, which is not, and I understand, has not always been the case, but they are very supportive of this project. And they have committed to pledge the 50% county matching funds that is necessary to move forward. The commissioners also committed to providing necessary funding to prepare the required design and bidding documents, which we were pleased that they were willing to allocate that as well. They're anxious to complete these projects this summer because they plan to use the cash reserves that they have available at this time. Kent County Public Schools request your support and approval for the remaining balance so that we can move forward with the completion of roof and HVAC system simultaneously. We anticipate the projects will be under contract before July July 1st, 2014, with an estimated completion date before the end of the calendar year. So we intend to be done by December 31st. This concludes my testimony, and I would be happy to answer any questions. What I might add, the reason why this project is particularly important for us with Garnett is that it's the central command center for the district phone system and the central landing point for the Internet. So we also are the primary link for county government. We also help them with their Internet as well, and it's the central location for warehousing food at our schools. We invested $150,000 to install a generator, and it, in the event of a power loss, it is our primary critical server backup, and it's also been named as one of the emergency shelters for the county. So it's a very important school for us, and we would really, truly like to move forward with this project and are requesting your support.
Okay. Look, thank you.
You mentioned your HVAC systems. I salute the Shore all over the state for their wisdom in putting geothermal heating and cooling in. I don't know whether it's applicable here, but is that a priority for you?
Well, we do have one of our schools that is using geothermal. And with this particular project, we don't have the land available to, you know, to drill the necessary well, so we're kind of landlocked because it's right in the center of town, mm-hmm. in Chestertown. So we really do not have the available land to do that, but certainly if we could, I'm sure we'd like to do that.
Right, and I know the governor and treasurer like that also because it's the wave of the future.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Zero energy schools, David. If you continue to outlive governors here, soon you'll be doing zero energy schools all across the state. And so Garnett, it's all Garnett.
Yes, this is all for Garnett.
And we required, did we not, that any new schools or substantial renovations be required to have electrical wiring such that they can accept a rolling generator?
In the process of implementing that with MEMA, with the current round of projects, we have, I believe, if I remember correctly, about 60 projects that are under consideration now across the state. And the walkthroughs have been completed on a large number of those, so the requirements are known. We're also investigating how much we can look at HVAC projects, for instance, a replacement project mm-hmm. like this, to see at what point it makes sense to do it in a situation like that.
Yeah, it's a small amount of money. In other words, what happens is sometimes people design these wonderful, schools that can serve as emergency shelters, but they don't put the wiring in place so that they can accept a generator when it shows up on wheels when your electric goes out because of an ice storm.
Right.
So it seems, why would we be still working on this requirement for 7 years? That seems like a no-brainer.
It's now we're working on it for about 2 years, actually.
I guess it took the order a little while to get down to the, really needs to be done. And why wouldn't, if a school serves as potentially as an emergency shelter, you've got to have a receptacle there so that when one of the many emergency generators on wheels arrives from us or from one of our contractors, that you can put it in.
Right.
And then your people have the electric they need to keep their hot water going.
Right. Well, we installed a generator, so, in that school.
Good. That's good, too.
Yeah.
You should do both. Because sometimes, also what happens is, I mean, it's a small expense, given everything else you're doing, to have something wired to accept the...
And for our district, we committed the $150,000 it took to install that generator.
Good.
That was installed this summer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, this helped too. And I see you're 90. You're the number of kids that get breakfast in your county. Almost 92% of your kids that get free lunch also get the breakfast. So thank you for that. That leaves a delta of just 117. And so we have your packet on your way out.
And this particular school, we have about 75% of our kids that are on free and reduced lunch. So it's a high needs student population.
Well, any help you can be in crossing that last, you could be the first to get to 100%. Do we have anybody at 100% yet?
No.
Nobody's yet at 100%.
Okay, we'll work on it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dr. Thank Couch. You. Okay, let's move on now to, I'm sure.
Just a question, just come back later. Not, why does it take so long? Why does it always take so long for these regulations and orders to be completed? That's just, this is not a rhetorical question, but I don't want to go into a long extended discussion of it now either. But I would really love to, whether it deals with maintenance or any of these issues. I just, is it lack of personnel? Is it that you have to bring a lot of other people together? If so, have we proposed ways of dealing with that resource issue? Just in general discussion, not this moment, but on that issue.
On the regulation on indoor air quality relocatables, that did take 7 years. We didn't have a standard until March of 2012 that we could even work to. There was no standard. And after that, we developed regulations.
So we can develop a standard. I would like to understand what, and this is not the only agency.
It's the large immortality looking at all these things. Okay, we move on now to Wacomico. Good morning, afternoon, whatever we are.
Good afternoon, Hi. Governor, and Comptroller Francho and Treasurer Cox. Delight to be with you folks this afternoon and the opportunity to present a little bit about what's happening out in Wacomico County. We have several projects that we're interested in advocating for. I want to say thank you, first off, for your assistance in James M. Bennett, our newest school, which has been in operation for a couple of years, and it operates very, very efficiently. The geothermal works perfectly.
That's great.
And it's also an emergency collection center, which means it has its own generator. All of our other sites are actually hardened beyond just pigtailing. There are other products and tools that you need on site if you're going to be an emergency collection center for whatever level. And we work with the county. We have three sites in the county, the Wacomico Youth and Civic Center, James M. Bennett High School, and then our newest building that's under construction right now, that's Bennett Middle School, out in the Fruitland City area, and that will be as the third designated emergency collection site or center. We've had some very good scores in terms of our inspection rates. We received a superior for James M. Bennett 2 years ago. Parkside High School and Y High, which are two older buildings, significantly older, received good inspections, which for an older building is really a challenge to get to. We have not received our reports back yet for the 2013 inspections that occurred last fall, but we anticipate, because we did our own pre-inspection before your folks showed up on site, for North Salisbury Elementary, Northwest Elementary, Salisbury Middle School, and Westside Intermediate School. And we're looking forward to receiving those posted up on the SharePoint site. The number one priority for us is Bennett Middle School. It's under construction right now. The steel is up. The roofs are up. The roofs are in the process of getting insulation and roofing, and bricks and blocks are going up as we speak. People are working there all winter this year, as they do in every winter on the shore, and doing a great job. We're looking for our request to be completely fulfilled of $10.26 million. We have, thank you to the IAC, a recommendation for $7.65 million, which means we're about $2.6 million short. So we look forward to your positive review and an affirmation in terms of a check on that one. We have, by the way, a perspective on this project. It's not just a service for the students to have a better school that has air conditioning and appropriate ventilation technology. It's also a jobs program. If you look at our community and our county, we've had a harder hit on the shore as compared to the rest of the state for jobs as far as unemployment and job loss. And so when you put 120 people to work, that not only means that they're buying materials and sheetrock and stuff in the community and bricks and blocks are going up, but it also means those folks are working and stopping at local cafes and hardware stores and buying other items that they need. Maybe it's housing and the like. And that helps the entire community. Those dollars roll around a great deal. Our second priority, it's actually priority number four, is East Salisbury Elementary School. We're requesting $1.033 million for that. And that's a majority of the roof is needing to be replaced. This is We're looking at an Energy Star roof situation, which helps us make sure that the roof not only is going to last us, but also will help us save energy, possibly contributing to a zero energy school.
Great.
Wicomico Middle School is a 1931 construction, so if you like the WPA buildings, you'll love this one. The HVAC system was put in 1978. We want to fix that, replace the unit ventilators, as well as we want to replace the 1968 boiler. For those of you that like Chevrolets, it's a pretty good year. For the rest of us, I think it's time to get that boiler changed out. We're requesting $1.78 million, and so far the recommendation has not been for any money, so we're looking forward to a little bit of assistance there, please.
I want to encourage you to stay for Baltimore City.
Okay.
Because if you like nostalgia, man, they can walk you through some buildings with nostalgia. I mean, they can take you back to the defense of Baltimore. It's the bicentennial, and they no doubt have some buildings that were standing at the time.
I'll have to do some more checking. Fort Henry was very nice, and I'd like to see that part, too. We're also looking at Chipman Elementary School. This is a 1986 construction project that we did, the renovation of that. The HVAC, we want to go to geothermal with energy recovery systems, and we're requesting $1.549 million for that. The recommendation to this point has been zero. And then finally, Delmar Elementary School, you're talking about the 1978 construction. And we had some open classrooms there. We want to get rid of the rest of them. We're looking at HVAC, lighting, fire safety ceilings, and a new elevator. We also want to upgrade the cafeteria, the gym, and put in permanent walls and doors in those classrooms. And we're looking for planning approval for that facility. We're delighted to be able to be in front of you today and look forward to your assistance on. And if you have questions as far as specific details in terms of how many wells at a particular site or other details like that, we'd be delighted to answer them at that time. We stand for any questions you might have.
Where are you from originally?
From Minnesota, and I was in International Falls, Minnesota for 6 years. We have a matching WPA building right up there in International Falls, just like we have in
And it was someplace in the Midwest.
Yeah.
By your pronunciation.
I'm working on trying to say Baltimore just right, but it's going to take me a while.
It was the roofs that betrayed you.
Thank you.
Anybody have questions?
Please.
Controller.
I
had the same feel. I thought I was listening to Prairie Home Companion.
I have met Garrison Keillor and all that sort of thing.
I just want to thank you, Dr. Fredrickson, for a great system down there. I came down for an exceptional volunteer, Henrietta Parker,
yes,
who helps out in
Thank
Salisbury.
You.
I also have the artwork I mentioned earlier, Marilyn Masters, of Grace Davis, Pat Rafferty, Kira Kim from your three schools.
They're great kids.
It's all up in my office if you want to stop by and take a look.
Thank you.
And I did stop by on the roof replacement issues down at Mardella and Middle and High School. So.
Thank you very much for your support and your visits. We welcome any of you. If you'd like a tour, see some of the wonderful things we're doing with our children.
Yeah, and how long have you been there, Doc?
This is my sixth year.
Okay.
I've got a great team here, and most of them are already before me, so Tom Field and some of the other leaders did some great work.
Good. Hey, can you help us out? There are 2,524 kids in Wicomico County who get who participate in lunch but not breakfast. So y'all are at about 64% of your kids eligible to participate in breakfast versus Kent County, by example, a higher performer at 91%. It's the money's already there. The program's there. It's a matter of the grab and go or the breakfast after the bell. But I'll leave this with you. If you could help us, please reach these kids. I know it'll have an impact on your deportment, your achievement, and everything else.
I've personally seen some of the kids getting their breakfast, and they do a great job, but there are a lot of little technical things that occur. And some of the kids, they aren't quite engaged with that activity yet. But we're working on it. We'll know what we can to make sure that grows. Thank you.
Yeah, we find if you structure it and just make it, they're not. A lot of them aren't that engaged in the algebra either. You know, if you make them do it, they'll do it, and they'll benefit from it. So I'm going to leave this for you. And Ann Sheridan right there is our Secretary of Children, Youth, and Families, and we can help you.
Great. I'll exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Next up is Washington County. How is it that Washington County made it here, but Frederick didn't make it here? Those North Montgomery Countyans and Frederick that couldn't make it here?
I'm another Midwestern superintendent. We travel in snow.
There you go. Thank you.
Governor O'Malley, Mr. Kopp, Mr. Franchot, Dr. Lever, Mr. White, thank you very much for having us here. members of the committee, thank you. Today, we're speaking to really two specific asks. We are looking to have funding supported for our West City Elementary Replacement School project, and we would like additional resources to help us replace the heating and air conditioning system at Washington County Technical High School. For those of you who are familiar with Washington County, you know that this is our 13th consecutive year of student population growth. It is also our 13th consecutive year where the number of kids who receive free and or reduced price meals has increased. Now one out of every two kids in Washington County receives a free and or reduced price meal. We have a great partnership with our county commissioners. They have stepped forward to help us whenever we have asked. We continue to build on that partnership, but we need your support as well to continue the good work that we're doing on behalf of our kids. Let me speak to West City Elementary School. West City Elementary School is, we're seeking full funding for the 2015 CIP school year. This is an extremely important project for us because what it allows us to do is to create seating capacity and close two schools that have lived well beyond their useful life. It allows us to put kids in energy-efficient buildings that really are worthy of our children as opposed to some of the really deplorable conditions that they're facing today. The two schools that we're looking to replace are our two schools who have our highest incidence of deferred maintenance. They are also our schools that have the most challenging and pressing problems. The systemic renovation that we're looking at is at Washington County Technical High School. Many of you have visited the Technical High School. You'll know that it is one of the finest technical high schools in the state of Maryland. We have waiting lists of two and three kids for every seat in that school. We're looking to expand with some boutique-type projects, but in the interim, what we have to do is put a new heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system there. It is at the end of its useful life. I want to thank the Board of Public Works for the service that you have provided us over the years, simply saying that we can continue our mission with your continued support. Governor O'Malley, thank you so much for what you've done for education. You've really placed us in a great position. Comptroller Franchot, you're a regular guest at Vester. They actually have a parking space now for you, so we thank you for that. I want to personally apologize for not being there at the last Master's Award, but I was home tending to my mother who was sick. But I will tell you, it was greatly appreciated. Our kids look forward to your visits. Thank you very much. Treasurer Kopp, thank you so much. Just the other night, she graced us with an hour of her time to talk about alternative funding methods for some of the new projects that we want to do that will involve private dollars as well. So, again, thank you very much for your time. I'm ready for any questions.
Thank you. Questions?
Yes, and thank you for those comments and your leadership and unbelievable artwork that your kids have. It's hanging in the office. It's really unbelievable. It was Alexis Smetzer, Haley Rodriguez, Anastasia Fedoroko. It's really just real feather in your cap in Washington County.
Thank you. We have really an outstanding fine arts division within our school system. Many of you know of the Barbara Ingram School for the Performing and Fine Arts.
Yes.
We are actually looking, when I mentioned to Treasurer Kopp that we were talking about alternative funds, we're looking for a way to expand that project right now with a building next door to it and tying it into the historic Maryland Theater. We think that great things will happen in the city of Hagerstown, and the school system can lead the way.
Yes, great. And I wanted to just ask you a question about the subject I mentioned at the beginning, the Partnership for Assessments of Readiness for College and Careers, PARC assessments. Apparently 2014-2015 is the school year. This is the Common Core program that I mentioned. I noticed in another report, not this school construction report, that in Washington County you're going to need more than $1 million in additional technology infrastructure in order to deliver these tests online, as will be required by the start of 2017. And where is that going to come from?
Well, Comptroller, we believe we'll be device ready for that, but what we are looking for are wireless ports and switches. That's where that $1 million comes. It's actually, I think, $900,000 that we've said that we would need.
Uh-huh.
That said, we would hope that the legislature, in its wisdom, would earmark some money for local school systems that are trying to accomplish this. Absent that, we will have to find it in our operating budgets or our deferred maintenance budgets.
Well, please keep me in the loop on the request for additional funds, because otherwise you have to take it
I assume, from your normal programs.
Absolutely. I will say to you that I had the opportunity to speak to Senate appropriations at one time earlier this year, and I did make them aware of the need that we would have, not specifically the dollar amount, but simply that people would have to attend to it so we can fully implement the park exams.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. Anyone else? We have got 2,333 kids in Washington County that receive lunch but not breakfast. So, Dr. Wilcox, if you could help us reach those kids. You all are right now at about 77%, which isn't bad. But if you could help us, that's was Ann Sheridan out in the hall.
Absolutely, Governor. I would tell you that our school food service director is probably second only in the state of Maryland to you in wanting to serve more kids. We are a pilot district for many initiatives. We will get to those kids.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you all.
Okay. We're going to take a break now, or are we going to keep going? We're going to take a break now. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back here in a half hour to wrap up the remaining 17 jurisdictions. 18. 135. Okay, thank you. What's our hip parade now? Okay, we're on Somerset County. Come on down.
Good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Francho. My name is John Gaddis. I'm Superintendent of Schools in Somerset County. I have with me today Mr. Paul Jefferson, who is our Chief Operations Officer, and Mr. Ed Barber, who is a Facilities Consultant. We'd like to thank you for the previous support you've given Somerset County with the recent renovation of Washington Academy and High School, also the work done in opening up a centralized intermediate school, and also what you did in Crisfield at Woodson Elementary in 2006. You're very aware of the economic challenges that face Somerset County. To be honest, we are number one in many lists that you don't want to be number one when it comes to poverty, income, childhood obesity, unemployment rates. However, we're looking at this as an opportunity to make a change, to make a difference in what we do and to plan for the future. Despite these challenges, we continue to move forward with our request and with our vision for the future. In front of you is one project for Greenwood Elementary School. Greenwood was built in 1961, and the project has been before you before. However, after arriving in Somerset County and sitting down, we decided that we needed to redo this project, if you will, in two phases, with the focus on not interrupting the academic environment in the building. So we have entered into a two-phase project, and with that project, we were initially received funding from the IAC for $2 million, and we are asking for an additional $1.5 million. The unique situation with this HVAC replacement is the fact that GIPE, who we are working with, has told us that approximately 75% of the cost will be in phase one. So at minimum, for us to be able to do the project, we would need 75% of the state share. This school is a school you're probably familiar with. As you make, many of you make your annual pilgrimage to Crisfield for the J. Miller Talls Clambake. It is on the left of 113. It is something that definitely needs to be done. The project will include a geothermal system with 180 wells, and also we have been working with Dr. Lieber, and we will have the generator transfer switch installed as well. So, again, we appreciate what you've done. And that is our one project, that is our priority, and we need it for our students. Thank you very much, and I'll take any questions.
And how much of it is funded so far?
$2 million out of a request of $3.519 million.
Okay. Thank you for, I see that 95%, 96% of your kids that receive free lunch also are getting breakfast. So
Absolutely.
Thanks for what you've done on that.
Absolutely.
You're our highest so far. Is that the highest, Dan?
Fantastic.
That's good. Is that a change in recent years? Or?
We've always done well with those numbers. We will be at 100 because, as any superintendent would do, during the break, I called our head of food service to find out what our numbers were and to find out why, and we know why we're not at 100%. And hopefully you'll fund everything right now, but if we're back next year, it'll be at 100%.
Yeah, I'm told 150 kids. So, and we can, if we can be of any help, we'd like to.
Right, absolutely.
Anything else?
I just wanted to say that the state is lucky to have you. I know it's you personally, but also Somerset. It's got all sorts of economic challenges, but it's great people and
thank you.
Part of the state. Thank you for the work, leadership you've given on geothermal energy. I was down at Greenwood, and it's a very impressive project, and you're doing it in two phases, and you know, it makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that. I also, after visiting you, I went over to the Governor, this is not a school project, but it's the Great Bay Wind Project.
Absolutely.
In Somerset. And if that isn't something that's incredibly impressive, it's a private company that by the end of 2015 is going to have 90 megawatts of wind-generated energy down there in Somerset. Mm-hmm. And lots of jobs, alternative energy, local taxes paid. It was outstanding.
There is quite a buzz in the county about the possibilities. We are working with a group out of Massachusetts, and they have done presentations to our Board of Ed to the point of looking at contracts where we could be the first school system totally powered by wind energy. There is a proposal across from Woodson Elementary School to be able to do something there, and it's a unique perspective, but it's something that the county is ready for, and again, it's clean energy, and
what
it's
does that mean if you're totally powered by wind?
They would the turbine, if you will, I may not be the exact word, but would produce enough kilowatts based upon what we use as a school system. It's big enough that it would produce enough kilowatts to cover our energy consumption at our school system.
And so could you be off the grid?
Or yes, we should be off the grid.
And they were big proponents of the governor's plan for offshore wind when I was down there. But they said because of the proximity of the transmission center, for I didn't quite get it all, but they said we are going to turn Somerset from having the most expensive electricity in the state to having some of the cheapest, simply because we're here where the electricity is needed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you guys are at the end of somebody's pipeline. But
we're at the end of a lot of pipelines. To be honest with you, we're on the low end of the lower shore. No, you're absolutely right. There was a meeting held 3 weeks ago at our J.M. Tallis Vocational School, and about 250 community members came out. There are 29 proposed sites that are being looked at right now. Two have been approved for the town of Crisfield. The site across from Woodson Elementary School with the group from Massachusetts that wants to work with the school system has all the permits. UMES, University of Maryland Eastern Shore, has two sites as well. So it's something that could be big in economic development, but also save us tremendously on our energy costs.
Well, the head of the company down there used to work for Barney Frank, congressman.
Thank you.
And I said, gosh, what's the connection between wind energy and politics? And he said everything, and he specifically said, you know, you should try to get the governor to come down because he would be amazed at what we're going to have going down here. And
we're actually meeting next week to discuss that very thing.
So Governor, you will not believe what they've got going down there.
It's could be something very special, and it's a great educational experience as well for our students.
Yeah.
Looking forward to going down.
Maybe absolutely. I can go sell wind power after I get out of politics.
You never know.
So just so I understand, being off the grid, the way you're saying it,
yes.
I understand you can feed back. And if you really wanted total grid independence and not to be impacted at all if the grid goes down, would you be in that situation?
My understanding, by no means am I the expert, but looking at our consumption
of about 4.8 kilowatts, 4.8 million. The project would produce over 5 million. So, yes, we would be...
And there's a way to store that energy.
Yes,
so that
there's quite a bit of infrastructure work that has to be done. There's quite a bit of switches and things that would be done by the investors that are with this group. But it could, broad term, take us off the grid, yes.
This is another alternative school financing, construction financing, P3 sort of thing for the new era, as opposed to the Oyster sort of thing.
Yes, very different model. Sorry.
That's very exciting. That's cool.
You good?
That's truly cool.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, now up is St. Mary's.
That's what we've been looking for.
President Jack Russell.
And good afternoon, members of the Board of Public Works, Governor O'Malley, Treasurer Kopp, Mr. Francho, Comptroller, and all the other notables sitting around the table here. My charge today, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring your greetings from Southern Maryland. We've made great strides in our school system. Our graduation rates are around 91%. Our Board of County Commissioners has stepped up to the plate for remodeling of Spring Ridge Middle School, which we looked at, which needed some repairs and whatnot. So, look, shortly, we hope that you would look favorably upon our appeal, and I'll get out of the way and let the heavyweights take care of the heavy lifting. Thank you for letting me be here.
Good afternoon, Comptroller Francho, Governor O'Malley. Great to see you again, and Treasurer Kopp. It is so wonderful to be in front of you. I really enjoy this day tremendously because I always like to take it at a higher level and understand why we do what we do, and I'm sure that's why you're here today. Commissioner Jack Russell, as well as our great Delegate Bohannon and several of my board members, Mrs. Allen and Mr. Brooke Matthews, with additional representatives from our community, are here because we're so proud of the work occurring in St. Mary's County. Today, the headline in the county is more students succeeding in St. Mary's County. Our graduation rate is at an all-time high. Commissioner Russell, I appreciate the 91% that you acknowledge, but to be factually based, it's 91.5. And not that we're competitive, that puts us at the highest, seventh highest level in the state of Maryland, exceeds national and state averages, because more children are achieving now in St. Mary's County than the history. And as a result of our very robust capital project program that we have, it's all been based upon that. So I'm very pleased to be able to talk to you about that today. We've had a very exciting week in St. Mary's County. I also had the opportunity to meet President Obama this week at the event at Buck Lodge Middle School. And I was able to, in that brief moment that I had with him, I was able to tell him all the great things that were happening in St. Mary's County Public Schools for that brief moment that I had. But he said he will come back and visit again, and I'll tell you about that graduation rate of 91.5. And have I told you lately what our graduation rate is? Remember that. It's very important. So as I'm moving forward in terms of our presentation, I know that we have a limited period of time together. We've already taken this through a very robust IAC process where all of our projects have been vetted. I appreciate that our Commissioner President Jack Russell has started off our presentation because we experienced tragedy in our community last spring. At the end of a board meeting, I received a call from one of our board members that said one of our middle schools was on fire. Spring Ridge Middle School was truly engulfed in flames. Great response occurred to get the school back online, but what we determined was that we needed to renovate our school. With the support of our local membership in terms of our resources from our Board of County Commissioners, they stepped up and advanced $10 million of funds from our local tax base and advanced that for us to be able to advance this project. So we have two major projects going on simultaneously: the renovation of Spring Ridge Middle School, which is our premier STEM school, which we're going to add an addition on for that program as well, but to bring it up to where we fully need to be with all of our systemic renovations. And we are the third fastest growing school system in the state of Maryland, third fastest county, I should say, and we are in need of a new school. So we broke ground on a brand new school, the Captain Walter France Duke Elementary School, and that school is moving rapidly as well. So I'm here in a nutshell to say that so far through the IAC process, that over $7 million has been allocated for our two projects. I'm appealing today the Captain Walter Francis Duke Elementary School for $1.1 million for the completion of to move that project forward. Simultaneously, I'm here to appeal an additional $4.9 million to advance the renovations of our Spring Ridge Middle School, which truly is in need of that as well. Both of these projects are robust in nature for our county, and the individuals that are with me, my Deputy Superintendent, Mr. Brad Clements, and staff members from his area are moving both of those projects together. But my ending result is going to be where I started. Great things are happening for young people in the state of Maryland. We recognize that. Wonderful things are happening in St. Mary's County for the young people based upon a variety of different data points. And again, thank you for your visits to our community. Thank you for your visit for the artwork. I'm looking forward to seeing that on display today. Great. And we just appreciate the effort constantly to support St. Mary's County. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your leadership as well.
Thank you.
Really, one of you all have one of the outstanding superintendents in the state. Delegate Bohannon, anything you want to say?
You bet, members of the board. Thank you very much. And, Governor, thank you for the opportunity to say something. Let me just add very briefly, we do, in fact, have a system that continues to be on the rise. We do have what we believe is the best superintendent, not just in the state, but indeed in the country. So we're very proud of that. And we have a couple of projects before you and some good projects. Captain Walter Francis Duke certainly is a good project. I want to point to particularly the Spring Ridge Middle School. This is a school that shortly after we adjourned Sine Die last year caught fire, as the superintendent said. And I went down there on the following Monday and toured with the superintendent. And became clear to me, this is a school with one of our highest percentages of farm students. And it is our STEM school. And it's our STEM middle school academy. This is an important project and long overdue. And this is one that we cannot delay. And the reason is, let me just point to one thing in particular. The HVAC system is the original one that was installed in the early 1970s, which reached its useful life, the end of its useful life in 1999. It's still in place, and it has got to be replaced. So this major renovation will take care of that and the other needs of that school and put it in more in line with many of the rest of our other middle schools and our other schools in general. So I would ask you in particular to pay attention to that project, but the entire appeal today, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Delegate, for your leadership. This is a delegate who has supported time and again the capital budget. There'll be other delegates coming before this board shortly who vote against the capital budget every chance they get, and then will be the ones that jump up and down the loudest and say, how come there isn't more money for our school system? But I appreciate the forthright nature of your leadership, Delegate, and also President Russell. Anything more?
Just want to say how much I respect Dr. Martorano and thank you for your hospitality. Run a great system. Jack Russell's always there. He's the ambassador for the county, as far as I can tell. And I always kid John that his boss, Steny Hoyer, in my view, is America's congressman. And John is, just like him, America's delegate. He does a great job. Thank you for
a great comment. Thank you.
The feelings. If I could just ask a quick question, John, you don't need to stay for this unless you're want to hang in there, but
Somerset people might want to talk to you about wind.
Okay.
I think the chancellor is before the subcommittee.
Yeah, no, please, and look forward
to
it.
Thank you, John.
So I just wanted to ask a quick question on the, no, it's not capital, but the Common Core readiness. I see from the MSDE report that St. Mary's will need to invest $3 million per year over a four-year transition period for laptops, computers, and tablets to administer the tests. It will need to commit $288,000 over that to upgrade and maintain its wireless infrastructure, $231,000 per year to upgrade its internet bandwidth to the required 1 gigabyte, and $275,000 per year for technology support staff. The total price tag, as I read the report, is $14.3 million over a four-year period.
Are you confident that the resources are going to be available to put this new infrastructure in place?
So the answer to that is that we've used that our original Race to the Top money, directed all of that to technology. We've been addressing this ongoing in a very systemic way. We're also advancing the fact that we're moving away from regular textbooks and moving to tech books. We've developed a partnership with Discovery Education, who's provided the background for all the curriculum tools, and that's being provided for us right now for online curriculum and being piloted in St. Mary's County. We have a robust partnership with them. We also acknowledge we're always looking forward in the sense that in order to fully implement the park assessments, you have to be able to have the tablet or the device for our young people to do that, to be prepared for the 21st century learning. So we're doing many of that information now. I've got some information in front of our Board of Education. We have a public hearing this evening regarding the fact that I've declared publicly that I'm not going to buy another textbook in our county. We want to move to one-to-one computing in terms of that whole digital conversion piece of it. So all of our monies that we would typically allocate for textbooks, we're going to stop spending it on the textbook piece and move those dollars into technology. So it's a matter of efficiencies, of using the dollars that we currently have to shift them to achieve that. Because we recognize that in St. Mary's County, we fully have the bandwidth based upon the Maryland initiatives and the wraparound infrastructure that we need and the great partnership that we have. But recognizing our distance away from the Washington metropolitan area, we want our children to be just as competitive regardless of what county they're from. And we're making great strides. It's an incredible heavy lift, but what's missing in those dollars is the explanation I'm providing, that we're taking existing resources and stopping what's going for those resources and shifting to do that to prepare our young people.
Not to be a Luddite, but I still kind of like books. So maybe
I do
you
too,
can keep
sir,
a few available down there would be great. And thank you again for exceptional volunteerism. I gave an award to Trish Post.
Sure did.
And the Maryland Masters, Avery Kent, Taylor Bay, and Jessica Burrows.
Yes.
Fabulous
yeah.
assets and wonderful faces for the county. So congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mike, thanks a lot.
Great.
Thank you,
Governor.
All.
Thank you.
Thank
great
you.
Seeing all of you. Thank you.
Yes. I'm sorry. This is on your way up. You have you all are at 68% in terms of the number of students who qualify for lunch, and also get breakfast.
Right.
So another way to look at that is there's 1,420 kids that could be getting breakfast and aren't. And knowing how effective you are at improving student achievement, we want to work with you. And because Somerset right before you, for example, is at 95%. So the programs are there, the money's there. It's just a matter of changing to the grab-and-go lunch or the breakfast after the bell and just structuring it and putting it in. So I hope you might be able to help us.
We sure will.
Delta.
Governor, we're so committed to it. We offer those programs in all of our schools and 8 schools. We offer all the children receiving those meals. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Is the board here? Are
they
are. Or are they
I'm introducing Mrs. Kathy Allen,
yeah.
Mr. Brooke Matthews, two of my illustrious board members, great commitment in terms of MABE and the work they do there, and my deputy superintendent, Mr. Brad Clements, Kim Howe, and Mary Hayden as well for my supporting services area in terms of planning. Great operation in St. Mary's County.
Which one does the breakfast stuff, Mike?
This gentleman right here. So he'll be adding more to that.
Good.
We have some pilot programs that will take place.
Good.
Yes.
And we can help. We put a few more dollars to it, just like the little connecty things and the nitty-gritty stuff that's never quite in the budget that you need in order to, whether it's the trash cans or the carts to bring it to the classroom or what have you. We can do little stuff like that, and the money's there to do it. So, Ann, wave to our friends at St. Mary's. This is Ann Sheridan. She's our Secretary of Children, Youth, and Family.
Yep.
She's waiting to jump upon you as you exit.
It's a significant priority for the board. It's a question
okay.
we ask the superintendent office.
Good. Awesome. Good. Thanks a lot.
See you all.
Thank you. Good seeing you. Thanks for your leadership.
Thank
continued
you.
Leadership, Mike. All right, Queen Anne's County.
Good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Kopp, and members of the Interagency Council. I'm Carol Williamson, Superintendent of Schools in Queen Anne County, and I'm here today with three of my board members, and I believe they're behind me, Mrs. Cynthia Todd, who's our president, Captain Kelly, who is our vice president, and Mr. Vito Tonelli, who is a member of our Board of Education. Also with me are three of my staff who are sitting down right now, but they're here to help answer any questions we might have at the end. Great things are happening in Queen Anne's County, too, and I know that several of you have visited us over the past couple of months, and I know that you have seen firsthand the kinds of things that go on in our classrooms. The Board of Ed and I want to thank you for your past and continued support in making education a top priority in the state's budget initiatives. In Queen Anne's County, we are especially grateful for the financial support you have provided to us for our school system facility needs. Like you, we believe that quality facilities are essential to maintain excellence in education. I want to assure you that our community has been very appreciative of any dollars that you have put towards our school facilities. In 2010, we came before you and we asked for planning and construction approval for Sudersville Middle School. You generously granted us that project, and it's hard to believe that now, a year later, that school was opened and we brought it in. We had said we were going to bring it in as a silver LEED certification. We not only did that, we brought it in as gold LEED certification, and still for the same dollars we had in the project to begin with. And we're very proud of that. That school is running very well, and students and staff and community are extremely pleased with the facility and how it functions. Today we're here because we want to ask for full final installment funding for the renovation of Stevensville Middle School. Stevensville Middle School is one of our oldest facilities in Queen Anne's County. The last renovation to the original part of Stevensville was in 1980, almost 35 years ago. Last year, you granted us funding to begin our project. The planning for the renovation has been very difficult since this will be an occupied, phased renovation. Complicating our renovation even further is the fact that the building does not sit on a very large site, and that we've had to deal with the addition of a geothermal field and then placing a portable classroom on the property that would house more than half of the students, keeping in mind that we wanted to still keep some play area available for students for physical education activities. We're very fortunate to have the expertise of our technical facilities manager, who worked very closely with the interagency committee and their technical staff. Together, they came up with an excellent construction solution that resulted in the award of the construction contract in two phases. Phase one was the award of the construction of the geothermal well system, which is a limited site portion of this project. Phase two is a contract award that encompasses the building renovation and final site work portion of the project. Phase one's contract was awarded in August with the FY partial funding that you gave us last year. That contract work was completed in October. In December, we conducted the sealed bid process for the award of the second phase of the construction, our construction contract. Our Board of Education and our interagency committee authorized the award of construction to the lowest bid, and we proceeded to make this award with an effective start date of February 3rd. In fact, we had a pre-construction meeting just yesterday. In preparation for the start of the renovation project, we've been focusing our efforts for the past 3 months on constructing a temporary construction access driveway, as well as a modular complex that would house the portions of the student population for each phase of the construction. The construction access driveway and modular complex have just been completed and were occupied a few weeks ago, as shown in the photograph that you have before you. So that's figure one. In figure two, you can see the complex entrance that we developed for our modular. We were very fortunate to get that modular so that we were able to house so many students inside of one facility. Then you see on figure three the complex decking. Then figure four, the exterior view of the modular complex. And I have to say that as parents went in to look at that complex, they were so impressed, because when you get inside of it, it looks like a regular school building. It has nice wide hallways, lockers, has a full-size lab that you'll see here. You see the STEM classroom there, and then you'll see the hallway with the figure six, the hallway with the lockers. And then you'll see a science lab. So when we had tried originally to find relocatable classrooms to use and put them in that property, it was impossible. So finding this one large modular complex really was an answer to our prayers as far as getting this project rolling. I assure you that our community of students, parents, and staff have been very excited throughout the planning phase, and they're eagerly awaiting the arrival of the bulldozers in 2 weeks. We're here before you today because at this point, the Interagency Committee is recommending approval of approximately half of the approved $4,010,000 of the state share needed to complete the project. We're appealing to you, please, to fully fund that final share of the approved funding. We know that you have a lot of other projects that you're considering, but we don't want to jeopardize the projected opening of this building, which is for August of 2015. Our county government bonded enough dollars to cover their portion of the funding, and they've already invested much of that funding in the planning and construction, the renovation modular complex, and the beginning of the construction. We've already gone back to our county government to ask for their support in several alternates that we're hoping they're going to be able to fund for us. County government's working very closely with us to ensure that we have equity with this building as compared to the last two middle schools that we built, which were new facilities. So you know how difficult that is to achieve. On the last figure that you see there, you'll see the proposed new entrance of the school. It really does change the image of the school. And it's apparent that the project for us now is moving forward, and our contractors are going to want to be paid when they complete the work, which will be in August, as said, of 2015. It's critical to our school system and the community for us to complete this renovation within the time frame plan. As I said, there's very little equity in what our students in that school have compared to the other schools in our county. We look forward to a continued partnership in finding ways to provide students with facilities worthy of the top-ranked state and the nation, and we thank you very much for your time and are available to answer any questions you might have about this project.
Thank you. Any questions, Dr. Williamson?
No, but thank you, Dr. Williamson. And, you know, I stopped by and gave these art awards to Emma Draper from Centerville Elementary, Sean Hobbs from Mattapeak Middle School, Olivia Utterback from Kent Island High School, and it's an honor to be out there. And the Exceptional Volunteerism Award, Golden Apple Award, went to Linda Smith Austin. Right. So you and your board members do a fabulous job, and keep it up.
We do, and we appreciate any of the support. Just your presence in our community really encourages students to want to achieve, and our students achieve right at the top of the state. You've been doing an excellent job in providing that program for them.
Tell them not to run for comptroller too soon.
I will do that.
But other than that, I'm all for it. Yeah.
And I think we were down there on your broadband, too.
You were.
Senator Mikulski.
Absolutely.
You kind of took us through. How are you doing with technology in class?
We're doing very well. We have had many fewer glitches. We used to have so much downtime with our internet.
Glitches? And that has not been the problem. We were the only ones that had glitches.
No. We have glitches. But it's really been much better. That broadband has been very much a help, and it's going to help with our security initiatives as well.
Great. Hey, Dears, I'm going to leave you this pack, and Ann Sheridan is our Secretary of Children, Youth, and Families. There are 675 kids who get who get lunch but don't participate in breakfast, which, if our numbers are right, have you down at like 47%.
Very small percent. We work really hard at trying to get our students to participate in breakfast programs. We do a grab and go.
Mm-hmm.
We do a breakfast in the classroom if the school qualifies. But you have to keep in mind, in Queen Anne's County, we have such a diverse population. We have very few schools that qualify for that whole school program, Title I. So maybe in the northern county, there's 40% of students that could be eligible, and maybe 60% in some of our schools up there. But on the shore, on the Kent Island, maybe 10% of our students in those schools. So we encourage students to participate in breakfast. Many of them eat at home. They don't want to stop and grab and go at school.
Right.
They would much prefer eating at home.
Well, everybody else seems to be doing better than you at this. So we'd like to help you because all of those same things are true in many other counties as well, and we've found ways to overcome those. And sometimes it involves me put more money in the budget to go to do it to the whole school in order to remove the stigma. Because if the kid's stigmatized by being, oh, those are the kids that get the free breakfast, then they don't do it. If you make it available to everyone, then they will. So we'd like to help you. I know, given how many good things you do and on so many other scores, that we can do better than that 47% breakfast participation. And I think you'll see a benefit from it. So.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Prince George's County. In his first appearance before the Board of Public Works, helpeth on as the superintendent of Prince George's Schools. Okay. Dr. Maxwell.
So good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp. As you noted, Governor, I am indeed Kevin Maxwell, the new CEO in Prince George's County. I might add, before I go into my remarks, I see my friend Mike Marrano has left, and I appreciate that he is also one of the finer superintendents in the state. He did neglect, however, to make sure that everyone is aware, although I'm sure you are, that Buck Lodge, where the president was yesterday, resides in Prince George's County. So just for clarity, I did.
And I also note that you are one of four or five people that have been named, four people nationwide that have been named superintendents, nominated to be nationally the local school superintendent of the year, right?
Yes, sir. I'm one of four finalists, yes.
That's awesome.
And didn't you receive your training in Montgomery County?
I've been training for this my entire life. I actually began my career and spent 22 and a half years in Prince George's County. I grew up in Prince George's County. I attended third through sixth grade in those days in Prince George's County. Finished junior high school there, graduated from high school there. Started the community college, joined the Navy, finished at the University of Maryland with a bachelor's and master's, and did my PhD at UMBC. I'm sort of all local all the time, except for a little time elsewhere in the Navy. At any rate, joining me today is our Vice Chair of the Board of Education, Carolyn Boston, as well as some other support staff of our organization that represent the team of professionals that develop our fiscal year 2015 to 2020 capital improvement program submission. We also have representatives of the county government here, Christian Rose and Lisa Jackson. Following my presentation, you'll hear from Carolyn Boston and then Lisa Jackson, and following that, we'll be happy to take whatever questions you may have, or I may defer them to others. Today, we will provide testimony in support of our capital improvement program request to the state as outlined in our revised submission dated November 12, 2013, and subsequent updates. The proposed fiscal year 2015 capital improvement program request from Prince George's County Public Schools is for a total of $109.5 million, which represents our final responses and adjustments as of December 2013. This includes $13.9 million for major renovations and additions at two schools, $14.7 million for special education initiative projects at six schools, $12 million for 14 high school secondary school reform projects, $36.6 million for our top 32 systemic renovation projects, $11.4 million for open space pod renovations at 10 schools, and $11 million for two limited renovation projects. Also included in this capital improvement program request is approximately $9.3 million of state funding for four school construction projects that were approved by the state that were fully funded by Prince George's County. These forward-funded projects remain a high priority for reimbursement. These funds, once reimbursed, will enable other high-priority school projects to be funded. The above request was approved by the Board of Education on September 26, 2013, and supported by the Prince George's County government via their joint signature letter signed on November 22, 2013 to the state. You will note that our request this year is $23.4 million more than we requested last year in recognition of the need to remedy significant concerns at our aging facilities, renovate facilities to extend their useful life, and to also support new education program initiatives. This submission also represents our move towards a capital renewal paradigm to more aggressively reduce our $2.13 billion system-wide deferred maintenance backlog. It is important to note that our school system is in transition with new leadership and a new spirit of partnership across the county. Our vision for our schools is ambitious. This year is a critical one for planning and management reform. We have already begun to make major changes in how we do business, including capital planning and program management. You will see a marked improvement in the effectiveness of our program going forward. We have also revamped our planning process to take into account more effective utilization of our inventory. Please note, this year's planning requests do not take into consideration the potential for future changes. We have requested funding only for projects that we have that will have an expected continuing useful life over the coming decades. If approved, the Board of Public Works can rest assured that the current request, if approved, will result in permanent useful improvements to our facilities, even as we embark on our more comprehensive modernization program in the years to come. The Public School Construction Program letter dated October 29, 2013, suggested that there were some unresolved questions as the reason for some projects not yet receiving a favorable recognition. Therefore, on November 12th, December 9th, 12th, and 13th, we provided additional information and documentation to resolve the IAC questions. These projects were reviewed and revisited by staff, and the required technical information has been provided to ensure that these projects are eligible for state participation. Prince George's County appreciates the recommendations made by the IAC for projects to be approved by the Board of Public Works for a total of $19.8 million. However, we believe that consideration should be given to a greater number of significant projects. Among our most critical projects are Tulip Grove Elementary School project, Priority 6 and 7, requesting planning and funding of $4 million as one of our major renovation and addition projects, 10 open space pod projects, Priorities 35 to 43 and number 71, for a total of $11.4 million in state funding, which the IAC has not recommended for approval. If approved, these projects will demonstrably enhance the educational experience for children at 10 of our schools. With our new leadership and management, we are prepared to implement these projects with all due speed. Special education initiative projects, which represent our top nine priorities, numbers 1 through 5 and 8 through 11, for a total request of $24.6 million in state funding. The many systemic projects not yet approved, which include 25 projects, priorities 20 and 46 through 70, these projects will allow us to continue to operate our aging schools and include but are not limited to major HVAC, window, and electrical upgrades for a total request of $31.2 million in state funding. In Prince George's County, we share your concern for providing safe, healthy, and high-performing facilities that provide an enriched environment that is conducive to learning and instruction. Maintaining our school buildings in a state of good repair and operating them in a safe manner is one of our highest facility management priorities. Finally, in closing, while not a part of this current request, we are completing an analysis of our facilities to support the expansion of breakfast and the elimination of hunger. I am disappointed that only about 70% of eligible students in Prince George's County are eating lunch, and about 42% of our students are eating breakfast. And so, you know, I want you to understand that we're aware of that, and we are looking at what we need to do to overcome the obstacles to making that happen.
Awesome.
I think you know that I join you in wanting to eliminate childhood hunger in Maryland, and we'll continue to do what I can toward that end. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Karen Boston and Lisa Jackson, and we'll be happy to take questions.
And Doctor, if I could say, you all were great on that in Anne Arundel County and made a lot of progress on 23,777 kids. I mean, that's on just the ones that are eligible for lunch now. So you're the epicenter of opportunity on these low-hanging fruit loops.
And I will do everything within my power to make sure that we solve these problems. Some of them are facility issues. Some of them are process issues. But we are focused on it. We've had two or three meetings already about it, and we've been in some contact with some folks here at the state. So, you know, I mention it because you may see some other things coming forward.
Good. Well, we want to help. And that's, I mean, for all of the smaller counties, I mean, each kid's important, but just so much.
There's a lot in Prince George County, absolutely. Thousands and thousands.
Terrific. That's exciting. How are you?
It's awesome. A wonderful fair on Boston Vice Chair.
Thank you. I am here today to appeal the recommendation made by the Interagency Committee on School Construction. While we acknowledge and thank the IAC for their approval for a number of projects, we are requesting the balance of funds for FY 2015 CIP to support the projects not yet recommended for approval. We are appreciative of the $19.8 million in construction funding that has been recommended by the IAC for projects to start or to continue new construction and other capital improvement projects. However, this sum represents only 18% of the state funds requested for school construction the Prince George's County Public Schools will require in 2015 to support its capital improvement needs. In December 2012, we received an updated facility assessment report, which shows that over $2.13 billion is still needed to bring our schools into a state of good repair, excluding educational adequacy improvements. The real need is much higher than this. Our average school was built 50 years ago. It has never been comprehensively modernized. Our average building is in fair condition, meaning that critical building service systems such as HVAC systems have outlived their life expectancies. These buildings do not serve our communities well. Many key educational initiatives cannot be fully implemented without needed improvements, including secondary school reform, open space pod conversions, and special education initiatives to move students from isolated special education centers to schools in their communities with their non-disabled peers. Therefore, full funding of our CIP beyond the $19.8 million recommended for Prince George's County at this juncture is critical to ensure adequate educational facilities are provided to meet the needs of our students and teachers. We respectfully request your consideration of our appeal for the full funding of Prince George's County Public Schools FY 2015 CIP request. The changes in governance at Prince George's County's public schools are already making a difference. We have an unprecedented level of support and collaboration from county government. Our new leadership has expanded the staffing in the Department of Capital Programs while implementing improved communications and accountability in program delivery. We have initiated public engagement on the upcoming master plan revision. We are focused on monitoring and supporting the capital program at the board level as well. In closing, I hope this testimony has provided the board of public works with a clear picture of the needs of Prince George's County Public Schools and a justification for the level of funding requested in FY 2015 CIP submission. I also think it's important that you know the school board fully supports this year's request and the new directives that are being taken by the chief executive officer and his staff. I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak today and appreciate your continued support to enabling us to provide Prince George's County children with quality education. Thank you.
Thank you. And congratulations on the new leadership
team.
Yes,
thank you. He's a great guy. Love
you. Yeah. Prince George's has it going on these days, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
40% reduction in homicides and auto thefts and schools doing better and great new leadership in place to take you to the next level. It's really phenomenal.
Christian Rose and Lisa Jackson from the County Government.
I know where you got Lisa Jackson from.
Yes, sir, we are good at that.
Nice to be back. Just real briefly, Governor, members of the board, distinguished state officials, I just wanted to say that I'm here on behalf of the county executive. He was unable to be here today when the meeting got rescheduled. He had a conflict today, but he just wanted to communicate his full support for the school system's request, and we look forward to continuing to work in partnership with you in the weeks and months and years to come. And Christian Rose is the county executive's Education Policy Advisor, and he may want to say a few words.
Sure. Only a few words will add is around the new collaboration in the county government. So as Dr. Maxwell and Carolyn Boston mentioned, it's more than just a new governance system, but it's the way we do business in Prince George's County. For example, at the county executive's request, our chief administrative officer, Bradford Seaman, had led a joint agency group to really streamline the process for communication around our CIP departments. Now they have a direct line to the county exec's office in which we can move as quickly as possible. They have a brand-new department of permits and inspections and enforcement, which will allow us to streamline projects much quicker than we have in the past. So with that, we fully support the Dr. Maxwell and the Board of Education's request and are here to show our full support moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask, we have these great team right here, all of you. We all wear many hats. One of them that I wear is the chairman of the College Savings Plans of Maryland.
Yes, ma'am.
And one of the frustrations we have is getting to the parents and families and schools in Prince George's County. Could we work together and try to address that?
Let me say that it was one of my first experiences returning to Prince George's County when I asked to sign up for my continued payroll deduction into the college savings plans for my three grandchildren now that I've finished saving for my youngest daughter's plans and was unable to do so. So, yes, I assure you that I hope someday very soon to be able to have my own deductions, our other employees' deductions, and that we can communicate more broadly to our community the opportunities that those savings plans bring. So, yes, ma'am, I will make that commitment to you.
I it's fully intent to reach out to you, Dr. Maxwell, and I hope we can I think it's something that everybody wants to do.
Happy at any time.
Just wanted to let you know there's actually a meeting scheduled next week. Darlene Reichman, I believe, is a consultant working with the College Savings Plan to actually work with our Community Relations Department and county government to make sure the information is put out. We actually also are working with Lewis Robinson, who I believe
you've got a great
Lewis Robinson is the executive director of PGCEA, but also a member of the board and has agreed to work with us jointly in moving the process forward.
That's terrific. Well, I look forward to making great progress.
You will.
We have a couple of people that want to be heard on the MDE. It's unusual. I can't recall this ever happening here. We've never allowed this to happen here before, but we're going to allow this to happen here. And good luck to you all next year and keeping the lid on it. We had a couple of people want to speak on the MBE program. So, Kevin, if you wouldn't mind, could I just...
Sure. Just before we get to that, I don't mean to cut that, but the county executive nicely called me last night on a matter that I needed some help on, and he couldn't have been more gracious. And please give him my greetings and tell him that the best thing he's done in a long time is bringing Dr. Maxwell on board. This is someone who's known for management efficiency, for innovation, for responsiveness. It's just, as the governor said, more proof that Prince George's is moving in a great direction. I did have one question because I noticed on the list that you had several open space conversion projects that were rated pretty low and they're not getting any funding. There are a lot of awful ideas out there, but from the 70s, I don't like very much, disco being one of them, but that's just me. This has got to be one of the most awful ideas. And how soon can you move to get closed classrooms into replacing these open pods, I guess they're called, or something like that?
Well, there are requests in this current request. There are money and being requested for to help us do that. I mean, I absolutely agree. You know that I've done that in my past life as well. I mean, they are. I agree with you. It was a disastrous architectural design program, but we certainly can't do it by ourselves. We
sure.
need the state to support that conversion. So yes, I know they got a lower score, but we would certainly. Continue to work with the IAC to do whatever it is that we can do to increase the likelihood that we'll get some additional funding.
Oh, back in the 70s, that's when baseball brought in the designated hitter rule. Another bad idea. So, anyway.
That gave us a lot.
Keep us informed, if you would, on how that...
Yes, sir. Will do.
What your needs are, I guess, to make that happen.
You bet.
And congrats again.
Thank you.
You know, when you were here in Anne Arundel 10 years ago, you put
air conditioning box units in the classrooms that didn't have air conditioning. And I have constantly asked Baltimore County and Baltimore City to do the exact same thing, and they just dig their heels in and refuse. And don't you – I think you also went over and did it some for Prince George's.
Alex Chaknovich, your chief operating officer, has certainly consulted with other districts around the state. I can't speak for them and their priorities and things, but certainly Anne Arundel accomplished that, you know, prior to my arrival, actually. But Alex certainly, you know, was a big piece of that working. And I think it was a very great benefit to the children in Anne Arundel County and in Prince George's.
And are those box units in Prince George's, I take it, still up and running?
Yes. I mean, we have to replace them every now and again like you do everything else, but yes.
Well, just keep up the great work.
Thank you.
To the board members and to the county exec staff, boy, is it impressive.
Thank you.
Don't screw it up. Yeah. Go for it. Thank you.
So we have two people that want to be heard on the – anyone else for Dr. Mitchell?
News right out from the Mr. Washington from AWA. We're both contractors on separate projects that would ask –
come on down.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Treasurer, Governor, Comptroller, and remainder members of the board. I'm Claretta Rideout, Managing Director and Owner of Daquan's Room No. 1 Enterprise, trade as Daquan's Construction. I am one of your recent graduates from the MBE program as a subcontractor. I am the recipient of Merlin MDOT Top 100 MBE of 2006-2009 and also 2012, and also recipient of out of 600,000 MBEs and minority businesses in the state of in the United States, I came in the top 500. I'm saddened to be here today to address the board in this matter. Upon graduating of 2012, I was awarded a purchase order contract through the PG County Public School, Prince George County. Excuse me for the abbreviation. I've just been speaking on it so much about it. And I'm saddened to say that once that I was awarded this purchase order, we abide by all rules and regulation, and we proceeded to Laura Elementary and started working as an MBE owner, not subcontractor, but a 100% owner in a managing construction management project in the Prince George County public school system. Very excited as a woman-owned general contractor located here as Baltimore City and a local municipality member of Prince George County. Sadly, we started out the project performing the duties of what the purchase order, you know, instructed us to do, but continuous of slow pays and no pays has forced my doors almost closed. And we have documentation that they owe us $1.6 million. We've only been paid $600,000 of that money. And due to them lack of, for whatever reason, they failed to follow their own prompt pay laws, which is governed by Comar. We've given them 43 documentation where they approved change orders. We responded in good faith. However, we received their purchase order, and if I could give you a document, a package that represents all of the things that we provided them and the change orders, which we did out of good faith because we got emails from their contract manager and project manager approving verbally by email, but never issuing additional purchase order to reflect all of our changes. But in good faith, on behalf of the children that we were doing new additions, and honestly, I started out as a painter, a flooring instructor, a contractor, and also as a ceiling contractor, and end up doing additions, putting on additions on this building, did concrete work, anything that they needed to get this job done in good faith with the
approval from their construction manager, Ms. Chichi Sanchez, and their project manager, Chuck Floyd, that they would be forthcoming with a purchase order, change order. And once we received one that represented $500,000, and 2 years later we continued to do the work and ask for the money, which almost shut our door, we were told that it was a mathematical error. And the kids are in school, but however, I'm here today to tell you, sadly to tell you, that we have not been paid.
Okay,
and
that's basically
why we're here to say to you
Ms.
that.
Ms. Maxwell, are you aware of this one by any chance? Has this risen to you yet?
I understand there's been some appeal processes underway and there's some discussions that are ongoing.
Okay.
I can speak to the mayor's attempt some time ago, but you know, I think you know my commitment. I think the Board of Public Works knows my commitment to minority participation. I think you commended me not long ago for one of the highest percentages in Anne Arundel County. And making sure that the work gets done correctly, and payment are things that, again, are part of another process.
Okay.
And that's the reason why we were told that good luck on getting paid, because Prince George County is one of the highest rating MDE participant. They bring them in, they use them. But the problem is, you may give us an awarded contract, but the problem, you don't pay us at the end. And we have been in numerous. We have been working with the Governor's Office of Minority Advocacy trying to get this closed.
Right.
And just
in fact,
recently,
we have somebody. Excuse me.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's okay.
Thanks a lot.
It's just that
just
I'm
take
so
a deep
personally.
Breath. That's okay. Take
it's,
a deep breath. I know you've been waiting very patiently,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate that. And there are people who've been waiting all day here,
yes,
and there's people in the hallway that want to talk too. And we have never, ever, ever before, that I can ever remember,
mm-hmm.
ever used this as a forum petitioning for
payment,
a resolution for payment to a school board. Do you know why this is happening here?
We have been working since last summer.
And could you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. I am Carmina Perez-Faldo. I'm Assistant Secretary mm-hmm. for the Governor's Office of Minority Affairs. We've been working with the MB firm and Prince George's County officials to settle this matter, and we have not been able to come up with a reasonable resolution. So
you just decided to bring them in here?
No. I have my director of MB compliance who
uh-huh.
can go into specific facts, but I think they were trying to raise this to a higher level, and they requested the Secretary of the Board of Public Works to be able to attend this meeting. So. Can I call Janice Montague? She's my director for MB compliance to details about how this appearance came up.
Hi.
Hi, excuse me. Good afternoon. Yes, I, as a director of MBE compliance with the Governor's Office of Minority Affairs, I did the initial intake for the complaint from Ms. Rideout's company. As a matter of process, when we receive these complaints, what we do is refer that complaint back to the owner for resolution. We much prefer that the agency dealing with the contract situation directly, that they resolve that situation at the agency level. Ms. Rideout contacted our office at least twice, maybe three times. The third time, we felt the need to assist with trying to come to resolution. That third intake happened in June of last year. I personally have worked since June to try.
Are you finding Prince? I'm sorry, I need to cut to the chase to
uh-huh.
this, because it's
sure.
my job to keep this going.
Yes, sir.
And moving it along and trying to resolve it.
Yes.
And if you all are unable to resolve it and bring things to me independently, that you would have to come and bring it here on this agenda,
yes.
is I consider kind of a pretty big failing of my office and yours.
Yes.
So I don't appreciate it, and I feel badly that Ms. Rideout had to spend all her time here. And there's better ways to do this. And let Ms. Hurley know I don't appreciate it. So I want this. You all need to find better ways to resolve this than rolling in on what is already the longest Board of Public Works meetings we have in the course of any year.
Very
okay?
Yes, sir.
This
yes.
is not the forum to do this.
That's
if you all need to come, yeah, we're going to come back to you, Ms. Rideout, and we're going to give you the courtesy of wrapping up, because we also have to hear from Mr. Washington, who is here today, too. But when we come back to you, I will ask you to wrap up, but if you could hold 1 second. So please let Ms. Hurley know.
I will definitely.
Totally inappropriate to do this here. Better ways to go about this. You have a new school superintendent, and I don't know if you said hi to him on the way in, but this is not the forum to do this. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
This will not happen again.
Thank you. Ms. Rideout, you want to wrap up?
Yes, I will. You know, I understand that you're saying that this is not the best form, but we did speak with God. I myself spoke with Dr. Lever in trying to remedy this, and I received a notice for him that no one was listening. He was raising his hand, and that's why I came. He actually intervened and tried to communicate with Prince George County Public School System in reference on behalf of my case to get this resolved. And when I found that the Dr. Lever could not help me to get resolution, because I did feel that this was a poor opportunity to do this, place to do this in, but I felt no other regards. But for one reason, I represent hundreds of NBEs that are going through this just in the Prince George County public school system. I understand they're going through change, but not on the backs of Breaking Daquans and other small NBE backs to get their building built and then don't pay us. And then we have to stand here to find out that all resolved. This is our final step of trying to get somebody to hear us.
Just wait for 1 minute?
Yes.
Yeah. No. Obviously, the governor is correct as far as his own staff, but it sure frosts me to think that you represent other folks that I take it get not satisfactory customer service.
Yes.
And I hope the superintendent will address this. If this is a problem as far as these folks getting paid, and the merits are on their side, I don't know where they are, but you seem to be perfectly rational. And the fact that the governor's office has intervened 3 times, most recently back in June, my God, that seems like 100 years ago.
Actually, last week we had a meeting with we had a meeting last week, and they're going back to square one. It's like we haven't done anything.
Yeah, well, the biggest, among other things that bug me is the lack of customer service.
Yes.
And I started off this session hours ago talking about my tax, my folks in my agency. And you can take that visitor's tag off if you want. Go ahead and take it off, because you are my employer, your taxpayer, and to the extent there's some mindset somewhere, and I see it all the time around the state, it's not the state necessarily, it's also county and others, there are pockets of people that just basically say, you know what, I don't care, I'm not going to give you customer service, you can just take a hike, and that is obviously unacceptable for the state's business reputation, et cetera. So I'm not saying you deserve every dollar you're asking for, but I would hope that someone would sit down later on today and sort this out and get an answer to you by tomorrow.
Okay.
You may not like the answer, but keep me in the loop.
I will. And I thank you for y'all time and patience with this matter. And I always got support from each and every one.
Thank you, Ms. Rideout. Mr. Washington.
Yes.
Come on down.
Good afternoon, Treasurer Cop, Governor, Peter Franchot. First off, I want to change what I was going to say slightly, because none of the people in Prince George's County Public Schools behind me, except one, was here during any of the time that the events I'm about to read to you, if you give me that courtesy, happened. And there is a problem. I would be more than happy to sit down with Mr. Maxwell and then anybody over there to help me resolve my problem. Because I've been to Goma. Goma's aware of what's going on. There are people in Prince George's County Public School that knows what's going on. Dr. Maxwell, I believe, is not one of them. But if you give me the courtesy, I want to read you something. First off, I formally represented 53 union employees. That's the first thing you need to know first. And then we can go from there. Some of us here appreciate union work.
My name is Alfonso Washington. I was born in a military household and raised in Maryland, a product of the Cherry Hill community, under the watchful eye of now Governor Martin O'Malley. As a Marine, I served my country proudly for 6 years, continuing my American dream some 19 years ago. I started AWA Mechanical. AW Mechanical is a family-owned, veteran-owned employer. All of my employees are tax-paying residents of the state of Maryland. I am here for two reasons. I'm seeking payment, and I want to identify a private, provide a probable solution for a major gap in the MDE program, since we are paying for it, the taxpayers. I stand before you today seeking the solution of an unpaid bill for a state-funded public school construction project where the payment process and accountability was not adhered to by the administering parties. This has left AWA Incorporated one step from closing its doors. We had 53 employees. We now have 6. 53 taxpayers. Now we have 6. The general contractor for the project was Tuckman Barbie Construction Company and the owner, Prince George's County Public Schools. The project, the new Greenbelt Middle School, scheduled for construction by the owner, the Board of Education, Prince George's County, Prince George's County Public Schools. Greenbelt Middle School originally scheduled for August opening of 2012. Key. Was delivered on time despite major delays in the start of the project. AWA was the winning bidder for the mechanical plumbing portion of the project, which this school is a geothermal school. This is an energy saving school. So we did the complete layout of this job on the mechanical plumbing fit out. We bid in the bid process, we won it through Tuckman and Barbie Construction Company. The issues leading to my speaking here today revolve around the undisputed facts. The start date of the project drastically changed after AWA was asked to sign their contract, which they did. The contract start date for AWA being on site at the Greenbelt Middle School originally was July 1st, 2010. AWA was not allowed to start its work until February 26, 2011, some 7.5 months behind schedule. The original completion date and delivery of the mechanical and plumbing work for the school to the owner moved forward from August 1st, 2012 to July 1st, 2012, even after the 7.5 month delay caused by the City of Greenbelt, Tuckman Barbie, and Prince George's County Schools. AWA was verbally directed to supply additional manpower with signed change order approval to follow pending acceptance to complete the project within the constraints of the new schedule developed by Tuckman Barbie and Prince George's County Public Schools. AWA requested meetings via emails and phone calls to discuss the Tuckman Barbie, the need to notify Prince George's County of the significant cost increases that would be incurred by a 7.5 month delay of the project's start date. At Tuckman Barbie's request, AWA submitted its estimated cost and change order proposals with a schedule of Tuckman Barbie. We also show the labor difference on the original flow of the project from July 10th through to July 12th through startup occurring from June 1st to 2012 to June 30th, 2012. To date, AWA has not received all monies owed it, including the full remaining retainage amount for that project. AWA is owed $1.4 million. However, we adjusted the payment due in an attempt to reach a mutual settlement to $1.2 million. As a result of the funds owed, we have been severely crippled in our operations while trying to get paid for not only contract, but also our change order work that was performed and led to the opening of the timely opening of the new Greenbelt Middle School project. AWA has submitted documentation during and since the completion of the project and has finally got its documentation to the desk of the Governor's Office of Minority Affairs in the appearance before the Board of Public Works State School Construction Projects. AWA is respectfully requesting that this governing body intercede and have a straightforward investigation that would show how this nonpayment came to be in the first place. The general contractor, Tuttle & Barbie, continues to move forward without having to repair the damage to subcontractors caused under the Board of Education Prince George's County contract for the new Greenbelt Middle School to the tune of over $10 to $20 million. In fact, they were recently awarded millions of additional public dollars in new school construction. These projects should not continue to be constructed on the backs of MDE contractors and subcontractors, female-owned contractors, and other minorities who are out here trying to become part of a system that they helped to build. As I stated before, I'm not here today just for AWA Mechanical. I'm here to shine a light on the misuse and distortion of what was once one of the best MBE programs in the country. To make sure this does not happen to any other MBE, I suggest that the following changes be at least considered. Change the operating protocols which exclude the MBE subcontractors from knowing what is being discussed during their funds and with their funds and exactly where the subcontractors are relative to the project status of construction. For small MBE contractors, it is not just about us, it's about our families and our survivors. Creation of an independent compliance officer assigned to the jurisdiction where state funds are included in the project, and the use of an ECCFS, that's an electronic coded cloud filing system. Some people here might not be familiar with it, but I'm quite sure some of the people who are technology-minded are very familiar with it. This will allow data to be instantaneously stored at the time it happens, that quick. And that way, everybody's on board, and the transparency is floating right through. Establish a formal process that allows the MVE to assure their documents, especially the billing and change orders, actually reach the owner's hands. Changes would include alert the owner on any issues, 2, allow the owner to directly see the MVE payment and billing process, and 3, to create an independent file that is copied to the state Maryland MVE officer involved with the project so that the companies can be tracked and followed, and problems resolved well before they ever get out of hand. A creation and implementation of an MBE enforcement unit not employed or paid for by the jurisdiction where the state-funded construction project is being built. The unit would have the authority to recommend fines against offenders of the program. The funding could come from the allowance carried by each winning general contractor using MBEs on their project. For those GCs who are granted a waiver, a substantial flat fee would be assessed. Lastly, make the MBE compliance officer a state employee not paid by the school system he or she is working in. As it stands now, the MBE compliance officer can go but so far before moving on a situation gets literally stopped. This officer will report directly to GOMA and the school construction where future budgeting could be examined. In closing, I'm respectfully asking that the members of this board, legislators, for one, review the facts of AWA and Prince George's County Public Schools, the new Greenbelt Middle School project, and 2, pay the $1,401,725.93 owed AWA Mechanical. Make changes to the MBE protocols that will strengthen and give hope to the men and women who are trying to create good tax-paying construction jobs in the state of Maryland. Implement the protocols that would assure when an MBE contractors are directed to perform additional work, above contract work, they will get paid and be able to keep their businesses stable and grow. I am also going to apologize. I am very sorry. I'm not sorry that I came here. I'm sorry that I came here believing that somebody wanted to hear what I had to say. That hurt me, what you said a few minutes ago. I just didn't understand that. I thought this is where you could come. Yeah, and I knew, I voted for you when you were in Baltimore City. You ran one of the best MBE programs in Baltimore City.
And did you know that under the
that here we exceeded our goal for the first time in the history of the state.
I heard that. But
what I didn't mean to insult you in any way, Mr. Washington.
It's not insult. It just hurt.
I didn't mean to hurt you in any way, sir. I feel badly that we wasted your time coming here because we are not a forum that can litigate a contract dispute here. And I feel badly about misleading you. It's not out of a lack of respect for your hurt, for your pain, for the economic hardship you've endured. We're just simply not set up here to give you a proper hearing. It would be like walking into another court of law and not having your file before us. And I feel badly that people in my employ told you to come here and wasted your time sitting here when we were not set up in this forum to be able to adjudicate or resolve your problem. It should not have gotten to this point. And I guess maybe some good that can come of this is Mr. Maxwell has seen you now. You've seen him. And perhaps all of you can exchange cards in the hall along with our people from GOMA, and we can resolve this. Mr. Lieber, you have anything to add to this?
I advise that this is not the right forum for this kind of dispute to be presented in.
Yeah, it's not that we don't care. I just don't have the facts for the file. It'd be like walking into Wabash when your case is on the east side. You know, I just can't. I don't have the facts in front of me, and I'm not capable, nor is Mr. Franchot, for all of his compassion, or the treasurer in this matter, of being able to resolve this in this forum.
I didn't really come here for the resolve. What I come here for is that we know that you are approving. We know that you are approving contract state. You are approving our tax dollars for public school systems like Prince George County Public Schools to come and beg for construction dollars to continue to build. And you're expecting them to do the right thing for not only the children, but the children are our children that are going to those schools, that we are taxpayers and our businesses are building those schools for out of insane dollars. We wanted you to know that the money you awarded them is being misappropriated when it comes down to the contractor. We know that this is not the form to get it resolved. But we wanted you, every member of this body, to be aware of what the end dollar, the bottom dollar comes down to us. It's not getting done fairly. And so when you make your approvals, maybe you guys could help us by helping the MBE or talking to these people who are coming up begging for these construction dollars to make sure that they treat the MBE, who are taxpayers, better and better customer service. Because if you're not made aware of this, you sit here, you approve, and you think they're doing such a great job. But here I am, a taxpayer who pay school taxes, and my children are grown, and I gladly pay it, and I support everybody in here. But when it comes time to get the money that I put out to build those same schools that my neighbors and my constituents, my friends, family, kids go through, I don't get the respect back for the dollars that I spent. And I think it's appropriate form for me to stand here and tell you that, because if for no other reason, you know the whole story, and you get this tax dollar paying person's opinion about it, and know why sometimes minority business says, why graduate from the MBE program as a subcontractor to get stepped on and disrespected as a general contractor? Because isn't that the goal? More MBE shows entrepreneur improvement for state and federal dollars to continue to grow entrepreneurship. That's what we want you to hear.
Yes, ma'am. Is there anything else, Ms. Rideout, you'd like to say, or Mr.
Thank
Washington?
You. Thank you so much.
I just want to say.
Mr. Franchot wants to talk about this some more.
No, I completely agree with you, Governor. I think it's the wrong forum, but I certainly think that based on the folks that testified, and my God, have I spent a lot of hours before this board over the last 7 years listening to people sometimes that had no business being here legally, I guess, or technically? But to the extent, as I understand what's going on, it's not the Prince George's government. It's these contractors utilizing their subcontractors in a way which is unacceptable. Now, that may not be the case, but I would appreciate it if Dr. Maxwell would get back to us on whether there's any reason to think that the MBE subcontractors get the short end of the stick. And I can see that happening. If I were a general contractor and I had a change order and I didn't want to pass it along to the owner, I can see that. Everyone's looking out for themselves these days. They're tough times. But to the extent these folks represent others out there that are getting, you know, pushed around, and, you know, the governor's own agency intervenes one, two, three times and nothing happens, would you please check it out? And if you need to, make some changes so that something like this is not, A, it's corrected if these folks are right for themselves, but more importantly, what about everybody else? And, you know.
Would you tell Miss Hurley I want to see her about this one?
Yes, I
would. Both of these? I want to see her, like, right away. Is she off this week?
No, she's not. She's right now
testifying in a bill. Okay. HB 14.
It's understandable.
Okay.
Tell her I want to see her right away.
Okay.
Like, within the next 24 hours.
Okay. Right? I will definitely do that.
And Mr. Maxwell, you'll help us follow up with this for you?
Yeah.
And you'll exchange cards with these kind people who waited all day in the wrong forum in order to just try to get their matter heard?
I believe we got to reach them, but we will reach
out. Awesome. Thank you both very much.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
I, for one, would like to hear from Mr. Maxwell after all this. What? No. I'd like to hear after all of this what the situation is, both regarding subs, but also payment to contract.
I left the. I gave it to. I don't know who passed it. I left the package that addresses from Daquan side.
Awesome. Thank you very, very much. Thank you both for your patience. Thank you.